Hello and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. Got a lot to do today, so I want to try to do this really quick. I was on business travel, so didn't get to do one last week. And this week I'm really exhausted from the travel, but I didn't want to get farther and farther behind. So I thought I would do one quick one. And go from there and hopefully get back on track, but probably not because I think I'll be traveling a lot more. But so let's open up with a couple of things changed on Comixology. I've always had trouble with like the Comixology Unlimited app in terms of finding stuff. Like I thought their presentation page wasn't very good. Their search capability is good, and I can search well. I don't like how it doesn't have, at least I can't find a filter. If there's a filter on the iPad or that has an iPhone, where you could say, I just want you to search on Comixology Unlimited. I don't want you to search Comixology where I have to buy it. If there's a button that could say like free to me or something like that, let me know because I can't find it. But if there's something like that, I would love to know how to do it. But I just navigating the front page is like difficult, and I can't find ever what I'm looking for. So I have to like know kind of what I want to try to look for, and then search like that. And then but the downside to that is I get everything and I just want to say, well, free to me, give me free to me. Like Comixology, like Amazon has, when you go to Amazon Prime, you could say free to me, so you could just see the results of the video that are free to you versus having to pay. My wife made some tea, and it's she mixed a blueberry concoction tea with a pear concoction and came up with her own, and it's pretty damn good. I like it. But as far as affecting me on the like the app updates they did, it's not gonna affect me because I couldn't buy on the Apple anyway platform, and I had to go through the desktop to buy. So it's transparent, and I use that app the least. So if something's gonna get dropped from my unlimited services, it will probably be that. I do really like though how they have the, for the most part, they have like a ton of Transformers and G.I. Joe comics. Like that's almost worth it. And I still was reading like Grendel, but I actually got bored reading Grendel, the first volume anyway. So I never finished it. But there was a couple of apps. I really like the Archie stuff. They had some Golden Age Archie, which I hadn't experienced much of it before. And then they have like artist themed collections of Archie, which was interesting, and I sort of enjoyed that. But they revamped their software, and they did so because their Kindle, I think because they were paying two software developers, one to maintain Comixology, not one developer, but development teams, and one to pay, the Kindle team. And it just got to the point where they probably said, why are we paying for two when we're, could just go to one? So they made a tough call and they said, oh, let's merge these two. Let's take what I think is the best from here and the best from that, and let's just merge it. And then we'll advance the product as we go forward. And they're already patching a lot of stuff, so stand by if you're all upset about the Comixology. I'm sure you'll get a lot of the features in its agile form with a lot of different releases. Least they'll give you what they think you want. or what you deserve. No. So yeah, I just wanted to talk about that a little bit. I was at the comic shop today. There's a lot of people in there. There were some people buying pops. There were people buying cards, Pokemon. Somebody bought like a whole case of Bombshell, DC Bombshell cards. Somebody bought a Spawn book off the wall, that was signed. A lot of different things. I bought some stuff, which I'll talk about briefly. But I got a bunch of Kickstarters back from my trip. I got Anya of the Jungle, and I'm a sucker for Jungle Girls, so looking forward to reading that. It says it's from 2020, though. I don't know if they just re-released it. From Evolution, I got Deal Breaker, which is Marcel Dupré, one of my favorite Kickstarters. Also from Marcel Dupré, I got I don't know how you pronounce this. The logo's hard. Vatita Awakening. It is like a little graphic novel. And square bound. And I look forward to reading that. That one I supported. I got one Niobe Origins. She had a couple of things that have come out before that, but this is my first Niobe. Another sort of like jungle book. There's a publisher called Bad Bug, and they seem to be making some pretty damn solid Kickstarters in terms of things that I want. This is Vanya the Jungle. I don't even know what, I can't even read the logo because her head is covering the logo. Let me see what it is. Let me give you the full title. It has the taped backing. It's just Vanya. Oh, The Lost Warrior. The interiors look really good. It's like a girl lost in time. It is rated R. There's a lot of nudity, that's for sure. Not quite the nudity that you see in a Boundless book, but there is nudity. So be careful. I think that other one that I talked about, Anya of the Jungle, that one definitely has more hardcore nudity. He sent in another Warbound to me. I've already have this one because I supported that Kickstarter, but it was late. One of his Kickstarters was late, so he threw in a book, and that's the one he threw in. So I'm gonna get some more tea, and while I'm getting that, I'm gonna grab the books that I just purchased from the comic shop, which I had no intention to, but a new collection came in. And of all the stuff I've missed over the years, I've missed a lot of Chaos Comics. The Lady Death. He had some from CrossGen, 'cause Lady Death did move over to CrossGen right before they went bankrupt. And I was buying those, so I had those. But I might not have them all. Because towards the end, when CrossGen was going under, I started to go away from it, but I came back. I wanted to finish the end of that run of stuff. I think I was just getting frustrated because I could see the end, and usually you wanna. Now Mikey would say, don't ever quit a company because those issues are harder to find because the low print runs. Go back in time and tell myself that. So I was able to pick up a Tarot Witch of the Black Rose number one. It's a second print, but that's cool. Jim Ballant. I picked up a Lady Death by Stephen Hughes. Lady Death Heartbreaker number one from 2002, a Lady Demon. This is one of three. I picked up Chastity 1 through 3 from Chaos Comics. Lady Death, Wicked Ways. I don't think it actually goes by Wicked Ways. I think that's like a subtitle. I think this is a Lady Death ongoing. So I picked up a one shot by Brandon Peterson and Bat called Misery. Another one shot, I think so, called Killraiser from Image Comics. I picked up from Image Comics a book called Madame Frankenstein, number 1, 2, and 2. Picked up a Lady Death, Dragon Wars, number 1. And those are just the chastities I was talking about. I picked up a foil edition of Lady Death. I don't know what it's a foil edition of, but it looks pretty damn cool. This is a title that I had never heard of, but I do like Kitty Pryde, and it's written by Larry Hama. Looks like about the time I wasn't getting Marvel Comics, like in the late 90s, early 2000s. I wasn't getting a lot, and it's called Kitty Pryde, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. I picked up from Image Comics DEFCON 4. I think this is a one shot. It's got a Jim Lee cover. I picked up Operation Night Strike. This one I might have already, but I got it anyway because it had Al Simmons, Dutch, Battlestone, and Kabat. That one I might have. A matter of fact, I could look. I kept on looking on my phone for Night Strike, and I couldn't read the logo because of the way it's at the top. It's like really dark. Operation Night, and it's night, like yeah, I don't have it, so I did well. There's three issues of that. This might look be an Extreme Studio thing. It says set in 1986, towards the end of the Cold War. The series focuses on a secret government operation and unusual but oddly familiar team of action fighters. As you quickly discover, the Motley team is comprised of Image superheroes from the days before they obtained supernatural powers or joined up with teams such as Youngblood. So it's got Al Simmons, Dutch. So it's got the Youngblood thing going on and the Spawn thing going on. Operation Night Strike gives a rare glimpse at the close Doom friendship of Bruce Sutton, aka Chapel. So that's Rob Liefeld's creation, and Al Simmons, who later becomes Spawn, a frighteningly determined Colonel John Stone, was known as Battlestone, who's another Rob Liefeld creation. I think Battlestone was in Bloodstrike. I always get the guy in Bloodstrike and Brigade confused. And then Jake Holland, aka Dutch. I think that was Wetworks, if I remember correctly, and Peter Friendly for their first dangerous mission, rescuing sensitive government documents from Russian forces in war-torn Afghanistan. So, if he had the other two, I would have definitely picked them up, for sure. And even two has like a Rob Liefeld cover, which I'm very interested in. Yes, I'm going to while we're recording, I'm actually going to I found another Ultraverse book I'm missing too. I do this thing on Twitter and I like doing it. I post usually one in the morning and one at night. But I post a thing called Comics for My Collection. Let's celebrate whatever. And I celebrated Prime today. And as I was celebrating Prime, I saw that there was a Prime Captain America I didn't own, so every time I think I complete Malibu, there's something that always bites me in the ass. So I added that to my want list. But I do want to go to Operation Night Strike. It's spelled with a KN. 'Cause this is key. This is like taking characters from Todd McFarlane and all of them, putting them in one book. And they're $2 each, which is even better. So I'm gonna put in my add to want list the Rob Liefeld cover, and also number three add to want list. And then I'm gonna check my phone and see who's texting me. It's Barb. We're talking about a bird. I took a picture of a bird I hadn't seen before, 'cause we have bird feeders out in the backyard. And she thinks it's a female robin, but it looks very different to me than a robin. But I could only take a picture of its back, so I don't know what the front looks like. But you didn't come here to listen about birds. You came here to listen about comics. So those are some of the recent purchases. And then I'm going to go ahead and go to bookmarks and find some questions. I know I answered that, so I'm gonna remove it. No. I gotta remove from bookmarks. Yep. So my first question, I'm only gonna do three questions today because I'm tired. Is from Drew from Comics for Fun and Profit. Give that podcast a listen. I'm all caught up. I usually listen to that weekly. It's a fun podcast. Even though I think most of it's for fun than profit. But they might give you some insight on something to invest in. But Drew, if you listen to this, all Spawn comics are $2.99. So the first issues are like $5.99, but as soon as they go to issues two, they go to back to $2.99. Not only are they $2.99, but each one is cover stock, a thicker piece of paper on cover. It's really nice. And I saw you talk about that on the latest episode and said they were higher priced, and they're not. And your brother agreed with you. So he said, "Yes, they are." No, they're not. This one might take a lot of thought, so I'm gonna skip it. But Dallo Spicer asked, "Read Daredevil Born Again recently, and I think it's the best DD story I've read. Recommend story arcs for the following characters." Batman, Spidey, DD, Punisher, any Valiant. And he says that should keep you busy. That question keeps me so busy that I'm gonna have to think about it. Like I can't just like spew it out. Batman I can spew out. It's easy. Bat Dark Knight Returns, all of the volumes, which consist of four. Including the latest one. I think they're all worth. Number two, it gets really weird, but it's really worth reading, especially if you're a Frank Miller fan. So I'll just do Batman today, and I'll remove that bookmark, but not yours, because I'll just focus on Batman, because at the tip of my head, Batman's easy, because there's so much good out there. I did it again. I selected the wrong one. Remove from bookmarks. So, Batman, Year One, also Frank Miller, is worth reading. I think any of the Alan Grant, Norm Brayfogle books, not story arcs, just read the whole thing, is very well worth it. I love that team. Alan Grant and Norb Brayfogle. That's my favorite Batman team. I would say the breaking of Batman's back is a key arc to read, as well as Azrael is the Batman, another arc to read. No Man's Land is pretty badass. Contagion I liked a lot. What else? I'm trying to think of that Jim Stalin one, but I can't remember the title of it. If it comes to me, I'll mention it again. That was a prestige format Batman book. Any of the annuals that are Batman Elseworlds, those are like fantastic if you're into that kind of thing. I know you're like really into continuity, so maybe the Elseworlds wouldn't work for you. But the Tom King run is worth it to me, but you can't read that as a monthly. I think it fails as a monthly, but it succeeds in its reading it in bulk. Scott Snyder's Court of Owls, the initial arc was really good. His run is good in general. He does have longer arcs that kind of get old, depending on how you read them. But Alan Grant, Norm Brayfogle, and any of the times they had those Batman tie-ins, I just ate them up. I loved them. The Laughing Fish. Who is that? Marshall Rogers and Steve Englehart. If you can read, that's only like two issues, but it's well worth it. Any of the Neil Adams early stuff is really good. When he starts writing it, it's a little weird. So be aware of that. A lot of the minis that he currently has done, they really go off the mark. They're really weird, but if you're a Batman completist, they're worth it. Especially if you like Neil Adams art, you'll enjoy it. It's just like you're like, what is this? Batman Widening Gyre, if you're into Kevin Smith, he's got like three arcs. He never completes the fourth one, but the three story arcs that Kevin Smith does on Batman, they are awesome. At least I think they are. And if you watch Comic Book Men, one of the guys, Flanagan, that's in that show is the artist for, I think, all three books. So he draws a really visual, it's exaggerated style, but it's really, I like it a lot. Batman's hard to like, the Grant Morrison Batman's even interesting. Like, it's good, and especially if you like the Golden Age and Silver Age, because he like pokes at those things and he brings them back. In his own crazy way. The Grant Morrison Batman and Robin, excellent. When you have Dick Grayson as Batman, that is awesome. Azrael as Batman is fun, which we talked about after the breaking of the back of Batman. Fugitive is another good Batman story arc. I think there's one called Holy Terror. Why can I not think of the Jim Stalin one? Starlin. I'm just drawing a blank. Batman Gotham Knights. That's a really good title. God, I just love the Batman story arcs of are really tight. Batman's so easy to make. Killing Joke. That's Alan Moore scripted with Brian Boland art. All of these you've probably read, especially like the Frank Miller stuff. Yeah, those are some arcs that. But for me, if I had to pick like a Batman team, it would be the Alan Grant and Norm Breyfogle. I love Breyfogle. And I think there's trades of the Breyfogle stuff. It's like Batman the Crusader or something like that, and there's like five volumes of it, maybe six. 'Cause I did double dip on that. So that's a good question. Some of the other ones, like Batman's easy because it just like there's so much Batman. It's everywhere. If you like his supporting cast, there's a Penguin mini that's really good. The New Joker volume by James Tynan is pretty awesome. I like the James Tynan Batman that's currently was currently being published. Now it's switched teams again. Yeah, usually Batman keeps me happy, and it's hard to do wrong. There's even some Swamp Thing issues by Alan Moore that have Batman in it. Those are really well worth reading. It's like a two-issue arc where he goes to Arkham Asylum. So I'll tackle that one as just Batman. Glenn asks, and I'm gonna leave that one there because you ask about Spidey, Daredevil, Punisher, any Valiant. Valiant's easy because I think all of it's worth my time. But I'll try to pick some of the early stuff that I've grown fond of. Glenn, the Glenn Clark, he asks, I know Glenn mostly from North Carolina Convention Heroes Con. And he's listened to some of my shows off and on. He asks, I'm sure your database breaks down the collection by company in order what company dominates your collection. That one is easy. The company that dominates my collection is DC Comics. I have almost every single DC comic since 1973 and a bunch that are older than that. Every time I stopped getting comics or decreased in comics, I would always cut Marvel or the Independents. It was just the thing I did, and I just loved DC, and I still do love DC the most. So DC, Marvel, Image, Valiant is probably fourth, and Malibu is probably fifth in terms of sheer quantity. And when you say Malibu, I mean all of Malibu, all the different lines they had, and not just the Ultraverse. So like, I had a lot of those. So those are my top five companies. The program used to have a report that I used to like. I used to go file collection statistics. And it would tell me, I'm running it now, so we'll see. But they used to, I think it got rid of the pie chart. But it used to have a pie chart that would say, okay, here's by publisher. And it gave me a breakdown of percentage-wise as I moused over the report. And I don't know if that report has since gone away, because the last time I ran it, it wasn't there. But and then there's a lot of other reports that I can do, but I've never asked them, how do I do raw SQL from your database? Because once if I learn the schema, I can write SQL. I do that for a living a lot, write, my own SQL queries. So once I figure out the schema, reverse engineer the schema, I could figure out how to query exactly what I want. But reports on the new web cloud-based databases are nicer than the ones that Comic Base offers. Because I've seen some of the statistics that people could pull and they just look better. The advantage of having my own database on my own computer is it's backed up to the cloud, but the content of the data I control. And if that cloud ever goes away, yes, I'll have to find some other way to back up my database, but I have my database and I own the product. Whereas if CBR or whatever, any of those comic book CBZ, they decide or sell off their company and things change, you lose everything. You can maybe they'll send a courtesy email, export your data, CSVs or something like that, and then you could figure out where to put it. But that's the danger of it when instead of controlling it all. And see, that report is still running. So if it comes up, I will see if it still has that. But that's a good question. Just the top five, and I did mention of the collection. That's already off the top of my head. I already know what it is. If you have a number or percentage, that would be like to hear that. Well, that percentage, if it does come up, I'll let you know. So it's running in the background, but I haven't closed the database in like 3 or 4 weeks, so I don't know if it's like when I exit it like saves a copy of it and backs everything up to the database. But when I stay in it, the danger of it is that it'll just I'll need to reboot it at some point. So we'll see if that statistic comes back, and I'll keep that question just to see if I can get you those details. But I didn't pre-read these in advance. Wow, what did Task Manager just do? Oh, my disk is like really high right now. If I sort by percentage, Comic Base is using all of it. So hopefully it doesn't fuck up my recording. But I think that's all I'm going to do right now. I'm going to pause for the cause and get into the weekly reads, which I'll probably just do 1 week. All right, I'm back. And we're going to be talking about. I'll see if the database came back real quick. New content and price update is available. Gotta do that. But there's the pie chart. Okay, so I'm gonna finish Glenn's question. So of my collection of roughly 88,000 comic books, that does include trades, though, too. So keep that in mind. Hardcover. Although most of the trades and stuff I didn't put in the database until recently. So the last 5 years of trades and stuff are in there. But we got leading the pack of the 88,000 comic books. We got 36% is DC Comics. Marvel consists of 27%. And I will say it's gaining because I've been getting a lot of Bronze Age and Silver Age Marvel comics and 90s Marvel comics. So maybe that pie chart will change. Image is 8%, and Valiant, I can't read it. I wonder if it'll let me move it. It looks like it's 2.8%. So it does lead the pack. There is a big slice of the pie that's other, and that's 16%. So it's not any of the major publishers. So I would say it goes DC, Marvel, Other, Image. No, wait. Yeah, Image and Valiant is the order. But Dynamite is trailing Valiant pretty damn close. IDW is too. Vertigo's its own category, so it's trailing in on that. Dark Horses, Boom is up there, and Zenoscope is up there. So it's kind of a wash near that Valiant area, but there's like enough. Some of those other publishers will catch Valiant because Valiant's only doing like two, three books a month now. And like Dark Horse, I at least buy like six or seven books from them a month. Dynamite, I almost get the entire catalog. I imagine that Scout, not, yeah, Scout and Vault, they'll start to appear as Unica publishers at some point, as well as AWA and Aftershock as time goes on. So that it says view by items. What else can I select? View by value. Well, that changes a lot of things. DC's still leading the pack, but Marvel's right on its ass at 37%. Yeah, that other piece of the chart where it bundles it is just astronomical. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. And then there's all kinds of other unique reports that you can run. There's a collection count, which shows how fast my collection grows over time. Looks like I've grown about 8,000 books in 2 years. Maybe, yeah, about 8,000 books in 2 years' time. So that could tell you how fast I'm growing, the growth rate. It's pretty incredible. Less than 2 years' time. It's basically giving me, and I can go back in time, but it gives me from November 29th of 2020 to February to current time, and it shows the growth rate, and that's how fast I grew, about 8,000 books. So, if that gives you an idea, Glenn, good question. A lot of people probably wonder that if they follow me on Twitter and such or listen to the podcast. So, I want to go back to the weekly reads. And I'm going to be talking about books from December 27th through January 2nd. And then I'm going to go open up two boxes from DCBS and take care of some business. So I'll start with what I watched on TV. That were 4 out of 5s. I watched Money Heist, From Berlin to Tokyo documentary, parts 1 and 2. I've been following all of Money Heist along with any extras that they have because I just obsessed with it. I love that Netflix series. I highly recommend it to you guys that like heist movies. It's probably one of the best heist movies that has ever been created. It's not a movie, it's more of a TV show, but it's the best heist thing that you'll ever watch. Got another 4 out of 5, Spider-Man: No Way Home. A lot of people probably rated that a 5 out of 5. I got what I expected and I rated it a 4 out of 5. I liked it. I didn't love it. I liked Eternals better, but I'm just weird. The Spider-Man thing that happened here was similar to something I'd already seen in this Into the Spider-Verse. So it was kind of like that with Doctor Strange and merging of stuff. But it works really well. They do a fantastic job without spoiling it. It's one of the movies that it's taking so long to go to streaming and stuff that I don't want to spoil it for any of my friends that are watch, you know, that haven't been able to watch it at the theater. Another HBO show that I'm going to be watching as the new season comes out, but I really like this show. It's called Sex Lives of College Girls. It focuses on four girls with very different personalities that are sort of roommates at this new college. Well, actually, it's not a new college, but at a college, and how they interact with each other. It's really, really cool. Really well done. Funny, entertaining. You'll get to like the characters. The next is a 5 out of 5. It's Cobra Kai season 4. It just knocks it out of the park every time. So I highly recommend that to any people that love Karate Kid. You will love Cobra Kai. Watch all the seasons. That's why I'm only doing 1 week. I'm already getting sleepy. So in terms of comic books, yeah, 38. Good showing that week. Not where I want to be. I want to be at 60 a week, but better than what I'm usually at. We had Scout had 1, Marvel Comics had 5, 2 Kickstarters, 1 Image, 2 IDW, 26 DCs, and 1 Comixology. So we'll start with Image. I did have a 2 out of 5. Well, I had no 3 out of 5s, but I had 1 2 out of 5. There is an Image comic book called Hendra. It is magazine size, and it's mostly just pictures. I don't think there's much words in there. And if you're into like, it felt kind of pretentious to me, and I'm not the biggest fan of pretentiousness, but you be your own judge and read this thing and see what you think. But Hendra is about a nuclear war that causes a group to launch into space to bring life back to Earth. Does she succeed or not? You will see the art style. I didn't care for it. I appreciate what they did, but they made these like really fucking small squares to like detail movement and stuff, and I found it annoying. I'd rather have a big old splash page than these little squares that are just moving a finger or something like that. I don't like small either, especially in my old age. I have to like zoom in with my eyeballs and it's distracting. So I gave it a 2 out of 5. I really didn't like it. I'm glad I experienced it, so I can talk intelligently about it. But it wasn't my bag of. There's probably a lot of people that would really like it, and I think if I remember correctly, Phil Hester commented on this, and he said he loved it the way it was done. I can't remember if it was this book. I'm pretty sure it was, but I guess if you're great at following old tweets of people, if you follow my tweets, you might be able to see that conversation. But he seemed to like it. So it works for different people. Also, mood matters. Then we go to the 4 out of 5s. There was a Baboon Skull of the King. Baboon is a comic book that I discovered on Kickstarters, and it's an artist that I've bought commissions from, and then he just like started to outprice me. But I just love his style. It kind of reminds me of the Goon, like Eric Powell type art. It's not like his art, but it's like stylistic like his art. It's very hard to explain. exaggerated anatomy and stuff and just pulp looking. It looks very pulpish. Baboon and his sidekick are in search for a king's skull for a museum when they run into Cyclops the Barbarian and ends up trying to recruit the sidekick, that barbarian, and ends up getting the skull. Love the art, reminds me of the Goon. That's what I said. I read Robins 1 through 3. The Robins are attacked during their get together. They're actually like have all the Robins are meeting just to chill out and talk about Batman, I guess. But they're attacked during that meeting by what may seem to be the very first Robin. So that's like retconned, and there might be a Robin that was before Dick Grayson. So I never finished that, but I should get on that. Night of the Ghoul, number three. The boy and his th this is about a boy and his father that go to a nursing home to talk to an old director about a missing picture, missing movie reel that never showed up, and he's kind of like the father's doing research to find out what happened to it because he's a huge fan, and the boy and his father are kicked out of the home by the director, and it looks like the doctors there are ghouls and are going to take over the director's body. So that's Night of the Ghoul. We have Batman and Catwoman, number 1 through 9. In the future, Catwoman kills the Joker. Phantasm wants to kill the Joker because he killed her child. Which is not even hers. Huntress finds out her mother killed Joker and turned her into the authorities. She breaks out and Penguin helps her. Bruce lost trust in Selina because of her strange relationship with the Joker. So this kind of stems out of his run, and it probably would have still been in his run if DC at the time didn't start to end Tom King's run prematurely and then have Tinian come and start telling a different kind of story. But it still reads really well. Tynan. We got Machine Man number 1 through 5. This has been a reread of the Jack Kirby Machine Man. Excellent issue as the organization that created him seeks to destroy him. He manages to save a hiker from falling to his death and befriends a psychiatrist. That psychiatrist plays a big part in the book. Machine Man turns himself into a vehicle after turning rocks to diamonds to pay for them. Dr. Spaulding has a patient that thinks he is from outer space. And when Machine Man escapes the military, he shows up and finds out there are legitimate transmissions from space asking for help. Machine Man is tricked onto bringing 10-4. That is the guy that they're trying to save, who says he's dying. And they're able to like peer into this universe through some technology and see that 10-4's life is in danger, so they go to save him and bring him back to Earth. And he is a Holocaust machine. The battle with 10-4 continues as he sends transmission into space for an all-out invasion, more people like him essentially to come and invade Earth. Machine Man gives in to the nuclear weapon and destroys the oncoming armada. The government puts Machine Man on trial for whatever he sh should and he should be destroyed or not. He is entrusted to Dr. Spaulding and they attack by a robot. Machine Man destroys the said robot. That night, Doctor is captured by Machine Man, goes to his rescue, so the psychiatrist is actually kidnapped, and Machine Man goes to his rescue. A lot happening. Suicide Squad number 4 through 10 and Annual number 1. Amanda is sending Bloodsport to Earth 3 to retrieve Black Siren. She sends Peacemaker to get Swamp Thing because she is no longer trusts him. Red X breaks out Rick Flag and forms his own squad with Cheetah, Lord Zod, Mirror Master, Parademon are part of that squad. Kuruba, who plays a, I think that's how you pronounce it, plays a big part of the Suicide Squad, dies, but Amanda resurrects her. She recruits Ambush Bug and Major Force to send them to Oa to retrieve a prisoner. They have a run-in with the Thanagarians and Green Lantern. She has a plan, but she's losing her team because they no longer trust her. So much is happening in this book. Matter of fact, I'm supposed to get caught up on it this weekend. Primal, the Arena. This is a Jungle Girl comic book from Kickstarter. Primal tries to rescue a hung woman running from soldiers because she believes they are using her for the sex trade, like she's a sex slave. In fact, she sets up Primal so she can be captured. So it's a ruse to try to get her captured so they can use her. Her name is Azrael, and she wants Primal to fight in the arena. To be continued. That's how the way it ends. Hopefully soon, because I love the Primal, a comic book. A matter of fact, that Anya, the jungle, that sort of spins out of Primal, the Jungle Girl. A Fury of Firestorm 61 through 63. There's a recap of Typhoon's origin. Typhoon starts just destroying Pittsburgh and surrounding cities for revenge on Firestorm. Firestorm manages to neutralize him. Firestorm works to repair the damages caused by Typhoon. The professor is hospitalized for his brain tumor, and she convinces Ronnie that one task they should help with is disarming of the nuclear weapons, kind of like in Superman 4, The Quest for Peace. This gets the attention of the Suicide Squad and Captain Atom. A new nuclear character is introduced in Russia. The president agrees to, can't read my writing from this far, agrees to meet with the at the Statue of Liberty with Firestorm, but sicks Captain Atom on him where they fight. Russia has their own nuclear man. Ronnie and the professor escape, and now the Suicide Squad is involved. So it's getting pretty hairy in there, and that's not the Suicide Squad that I'm talking about earlier. This is around the time of the early John Ostrander Suicide Squad. Bermuda number 2 and 3, the boy escapes to a pirate town to try and find help and save his sister from mermen. Instead, he gets captured as a slave, and Bermuda has to rescue him. The mermen are going to sacrifice his sister to open up the portal. Meanwhile, the father and science team are also breaking through the portal. Almost done. We're getting to the 5 out of 5. So those were all 4 out of 5s. We have Green Lantern Volume 1. Well, actually, it's Volume 2. Volume 1's Golden Age. Carol Lost Ferris. This is Green Lantern 145. Carol Lost Ferris, and her father tries to save the company in her absence. He gives Carol a nice home with where her and Hal spend a lot of time together, and she rents out a room to Hal. Meanwhile, Goldface is setting up his power, and he is right above the house where Carol lives. Adam Strange fights a giant spider alien and defeats it by taking it into space, and he is transported by the Zeta Beam back to Earth. Green Lantern 314, Dr. Polaris defeated Hal and took his ring, so he actually has the Green Lantern ring. He is using it to control people, which I didn't know you could. He left Hal to die in the North Pole, and he almost does because he is attacked by the elements, cold, polar bears, and wolves. He finds refuge, but now is snowblind. Carol is kidnapped when she goes to New York to defend the Ferris Airlines. Tom, the kind of like Green Lantern's friend at Ferris, finds out Ferris loses the government contracts, and after He lost his fuel business. He is contemplating suicide when Hal comes for help and makes him feel like he is a quitter. Adam Strange is tortured by Ran by Coscor, who wants Zeta Beam tech. When does he get left? What? When he does not give it, he is left to die in a volcano because it makes a narrow escape. We have Black Hawk 266. Ugal Marston, he's that professor, is freed by a man, has to face Black Hawk. A new member, Gaynor, is recruited to replace Chop Chop because he went back to China to help his people. The imposter is wrecking havoc, and Marston has a giant worm attack London. That's that scientist. He's got like this metal worm attacking London. A polar bear. What was I doing? Attack London. The Blackhawks defeat the worm. Gaynor tries to kill the imposter, and Marston is brought to work for the UK. Marston is kind of like a professor that, yeah, I made the war, Will. Who has the most money to pay me, and I'll go work there. I don't care about anything about the war. I just want to sell my products to the highest bidder. Olaf used to work at a circus. This is the backup feature, and he revisits his friend and has to disguise himself as a clown when the Nazis invade that like circus area and they want entertainment. We have Red Xmas number one. This one I really love. This was a 5 out of 5 and the top book of the week. Santa loses toothless wife who gives incredible blowjobs to a reindeer accident, and he's pissed. He makes a trip to a boy's house who wants his father dead. The mother is crazy and kills Santa and the reindeer. And to be continued by the next story never came out from Scout. So my research indicates that for some reason it never came out on Scout, but then it went through a Kickstarter and it might have finished there, but I won't have the next issue. But this was really good comic book. So yeah, I'd highly recommend it. The 5 out of 5s were Green Lantern 145 Volume 2, Green Lantern 134 Volume 2, Black Hawk 266 Volume 1, and Red Xmas from Scout Comics. So I want to thank you for listening. I'm going to go open some boxes and read the new previews that just came out on Wednesday. So the DC previews is out. They failed to give me a paper product for the previous DC, but they send out a new one for the coming month. And then there's the Diamond one, but Marvel previews hasn't shipped either. So I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's in my box. So the top five were those and Red Xmas. So I want to thank you for listening. You can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com and at Mike Myers Brunch on Twitter. Facebook is Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button. Follow all the episode threads there. And I think that's the best place to reach me is on Twitter. But you can send email as well. And Facebook, nobody seems to use it, but I keep posting there because I'm a loyal dude. There are a few, there's maybe two listeners that I know that actively use the Facebook portal to see the new episode threads, but mostly it's me reporting on Twitter. So thank you for listening. We'll meet you again in a week, and hopefully I'll have more energy. Because I feel like my energy is just sapped this week. Like, I want a nap so bad. I didn't sleep there very well. I was in California and there were a lot of problems, and I had to I'd work during the day trying to work the problems out, but then if I didn't solve it during the day, my mind would just race and I'd try to solve it at night, and sometimes I'd wake up, I don't know, around 2 a.m. and then work to like 4:30 and then try to go back to bed. But it was a rough trip and I'm exhausted. I want to get some sleep. And thank you for listening. And hopefully next episode I can do 2 weeks worth of comics because I really fell behind. So we'll talk to you soon, and we'll catch you on the flip side.